Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Martin Van Buren was the governor of New York State in 1829, and he wrote a letter to President Andrew Jackson. And here's the content of the letter. Quote, "The canal system of this country is being threatened by the spread of a new form of transportation known as railroads. The federal government must preserve the canals for the following reasons. One, if canal boats are supplanted by railroads, serious unemployment will result. Captains, cooks, drivers, hostlers, repairmen, lock tenders will be left without means of livelihood, not to mention the numerous farmers now employed in growing hay for the horses. Number two, boat builders would suffer, and towline, whip, and harness makers would be left destitute. Number three, canal boats are absolutely essential to the defense of the United States. In the event of the unexpected trouble with England, the Erie Canal would be the only means by which we could move the supplies so vital to waging a modern war. As you may well know, Mr. President, railroad carriages are pulled at the enormous speed of 15 miles per hour by the engines which, in addition to endangering life and limb of passengers, roar and snort their way through the countryside, setting fire to crops, scaring the livestock, frightening women and children. The Almighty never intended that people should travel at such a breakneck speed." Unquote. Well, I suppose when we get to heaven, we'll probably realize that our ideas about heaven right now are about as silly as Martin Van Buren's ideas about railroads. Heaven is not an easy subject to delve into because it's beyond our comprehension, no matter how we explain it. But what I want to look at with you in the time remaining today is the statement made in Revelation 21, "I am making all things new." We're in a new year, and there will be a lot of new experiences this year. We hope for the most part pleasant, and it may be the year that you begin a new life in Christ. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And most of us like new things. We like a new car to drive. We like a new truck, perhaps. We like new clothes. Well, there's going to be something far more new and far greater than an automobile or a vehicle of some sort or clothes to wear. We're going to be given a new body. But let's look in the book of Revelation where the Apostle John gives us a glimpse into heaven. I want to read Revelation 21, verse 1 down through verse 5. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Now notice verse 5 again. John heard the one sitting upon the throne saying, "I make all things new. Write this down, for these words are true and faithful." Jesus said, "I'm going to make new things." And this is precisely what heaven is all about. The removal of all the negatives of time and space and all the things that are in this world through the curse of sin. And in Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22, John gives us the essential characteristics of heaven. Number one, in heaven there will be a fresh start without Satan's interference. Initially, John is impressed by what does not exist in the new heaven, the new earth. We all know what Satan did in Eden, but we can hardly imagine a new Eden, Garden of Eden, without Satan. Heaven's absence of evil, of Satan, of death, of Hades, are obvious since all have been consigned to hell. This can only mean one thing, life, eternal life. And can you begin to understand the significance of eternal life without the presence of evil? When Satan entered this world through sin, he separated us from God's presence. Heaven is designed to restore what was lost in the Garden of Eden, and heaven will be a place to fully enjoy God's presence in Satan's absence. In Revelation 21, I want to read another section beginning with verse 22 and down through the end of the chapter. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The world around us tends toward unfairness. In our world there's danger, there's disappointment. The world will leave us unsatisfied, it will leave us disappointed. We live in a world controlled by our adversary. We read in Ephesians 2, verse 2, and you hath he quickened, and then which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And so the prince of the power of air is Satan. Satan's evil rule of this world brought death to us by tainting every blessed instinct given to us by God. Can you even begin to imagine how beautiful Adam's relationship with Eve was as they lived in total innocence? The moment they sinned, their nakedness and their shame drove them away from God. If you don't believe that shame still exists, ask yourself why we wear clothes today. All that brings death and separation will be absent in heaven. And thus we read again from Revelation chapter 21, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All that brings death, all that brings separation is going to be absent in heaven. And John describes heaven by what is not there. No more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic and witchcraft, the idolaters and all liars, their place is going to be in the place that burns with sulfur and fire and brimstone. And the Bible says that's the second death. The second death will mean the death of evil for all eternity. We've heard of movies about the evil dead, the living dead, the walking dead, but there's going to be the death of evil. And a world without evil is beyond our wildest imagination to comprehend. The curse of sin filled the world with tears. We find them at every turn of the road. Things may look bright for us for a while, but then comes some disappointment out of nowhere to rob us of our hopes and our dreams, maybe to rob us of our health. And we've all known bitter tears of sorrow and tears of disappointment. Moses spent all his life with one great goal in view. His great ambition was to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And just as he was about to realize the fulfillment of all of his aspiration and dreams, Moses met disappointment. God said, as it were, Moses, because of your disobedience, you failed to sanctify me before the people, you're not going to get to go into the promised land. You'll get to see it, but you'll not get to experience it. Sin deprives man of his hopes and his dreams, and we can see the tears coursing down the cheeks of many because of the disappointments they brought to themselves. We all have our own disappointments and our own tears. A man worked all of his life saving for a new home. He built the new home and he lived in it 2 days before sin's curse of death stripped him of all his earthly hopes and dreams. Others have experienced a bitter disappointment of children failing to live up to their potential. We build castles in the sky only to see them come crashing down to the earth. We dream bright dreams that never come true. We have high hopes that never materialize. In heaven, there'll be a new beginning because God's going to wipe away every tear, Revelation 21, verse 4. Our tears will be wiped away as God wipes away the curse of sin. The greatest thing about that day, it will be the last time we will ever need our tears wiped away. Satan entered this world for the purpose of filling it with tears of mourning, to rob us of tears of joy. And when Christ comes, he will destroy the very reason for our tears as he destroys the sin that robbed us of man of his eternal home, the Garden of Eden. The natural result of evil's death will be the destruction of sadness, the putting away of mourning, the curse of sin. There'll be no mourning in heaven because the strife that brings mourning and sadness will have ended with the destruction of Satan. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 4, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Our personal struggle with sin brings mourning as we long to be a better person. We know what's lacking in our lives, and yet we seem to be powerless at times to do anything about it. We have forgiveness that's available through Christ, and that's the only place there's forgiveness. But even with forgiveness in Christ, there's still times of disappointment and times of mourning. Friend, heaven is going to be a new place, a place of new beginnings. And the Lord said to John, "I make all things new." This day you can be a new creature in Christ. When upon your faith in Christ, you repent of your sins, when you confess the sweet name of Jesus before men, and when you go down to the waters of baptism to be buried with Christ, to have your sins washed away, the Lord will forgive you, he'll save you, and you'll be on the road to heaven.